We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tough ballpark. Moving the fences in. I don't know about that. When I was with Eric Wedge and the bench coach in Seattle, that ballpark was ridiculous to hit in. We did end up having them talking to men to moving it in. They moved fences in Seattle. I don't know if that's a good idea in San Francisco because it is the trademark of that unbelievable, unique ballpark. You know, so how do you change that? I don't know. Obviously, playing the Candlestick was a terrible place to hit at night with all the wind, and it, sometimes it, the ball flew out of there during the day. So not every ballpark is the same. A lot of ballparks, obviously, right now are a lot smaller. And the thing about it is from the past, it's crazy how, the foul territory, there's like zero.
Right.
You know, you look at Oakland, you know, you look over at Oakland, that's what Candlestick was.
Right.
You know, pop up, you might as well just start walking back to the dugout because it's going to, you know, in foul territory because you got so much room. So, back to the ballpark and moving the fences in, I don't really have, much of a say so on that. I'd like to see it stay the same. Probably the hitters, you know, that are there now and possible hitters that you would get in the future if you move the fences in. I mean, that's another thing to keep in consideration.
Robbie Thompson here on the Dial Pad guest line. Dial Pad helps you make smarter calls. Robbie here on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of home runs and, you know, the ball dying at Oracle Park here on the water, what do you think about the home run numbers now in baseball? You think there's something up with the baseballs right now, Robbie?
I think that's a pretty obvious question. I probably don't even have to answer that.
I had to throw it out there.
I will say this. You know what? I just had lunch with a dear friend of mine, and he's a baseball guy. My kids played together with his kids, high school and what have you, travel ball. But we were just talking about that. And he mentioned one thing, and it's been mentioned, you know, in conversation with myself and other people and on MLB Channel, ESPN, you guys on the radio, whatever. These guys, the conditioning they go through, in 1 through 9 and 1 through 25, as far as position players go, these guys are in shape. They're stronger than, not that we weren't strong back in the day, but they are. The conditioning, so that, you know, I've heard that play part of it. You know, they're better conditioning, they're stronger, faster, what have you. But doggone, I'll tell you what, guys, and you've seen it. You see guys flicking balls the other way that have never gone the other way. You got guys that have played 5 years in the big leagues, and their total right now in home runs in 1 year is more than they hit in 5 years.
Right.
You know, you could go through. So am I going to say it's doctored? Am I going to say it's, you know, it's a loaded ball? If I'm a pitcher, I'm going to. That's for sure. Yeah, as Verlander did.
Right.
And rightfully so. But, you know, the facts behind it, you know, the commissioner touched on that during the All-Star game and, you know, during the All-Star break. So I just see a lot more balls not only going out in the ballpark, but going in upper decks where balls have never been hit before.
Yeah. Hey, Robbie, we had Rob Nen on last week.
Rob Nen, love him.
Yeah, he was great. And, you know, he's been out of the game fewer years than you, obviously, and I always am interested in what ex-ball players are doing after the game because some of that – sometimes it's a struggle. He says he's playing a lot of golf, taking the kids around, and spending a lot of time with his family. You've been out a little longer. What are you up to? What's one of your days look like?
Well, I'll tell you what. So right now, I took off a year. I've been with Cleveland Indians. I'll make this real quick. So when Dusty Baker was there, Brian Sabin and all, I left in, let's see, we opened up the ballpark in 2000, the new ballpark. And then I was there 2001, and I left after the 2001 season to, like Rob Nenson, doing stuff with the kids. So I came back home because my kids were all, like my three boys and my daughter, my three boys were all playing travel ball, you know, high school, blah, blah, blah. So I was missing out on that. I thought, you know what, if I'm still playing, it's one thing, but I got to get closer to them and watch these guys grow up. And so I left there. It was funny because there was rumors that had it that Dusty and I and the Giants and Ryan Sabian had a fallen out. That's not even close to the truth. I just wanted to get back to my family and closer. So then anyway, I got with Cleveland, and I was with them for like 14 years. With 3 years, I went to Seattle with Eric Wedge. I was a bench coach in Seattle. What was that, 9, 10, 11, 11, 10, 11, 12? I don't even remember. Time flies. But I actually just took off a year, so I'm gonna start collecting my pension. So I'm doing a lot of working around the house because the IRS got involved in it. You can't take your pension. You can't double dip. Yeah, it used to be. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, all these AAA managers, AA, single-A managers that played in big leagues and that are double dipping. This happened about 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm really figuring out on a day-to-day basis what the heck I'm going to do. I do a lot of stuff around the house. I'm getting a lot of stuff done. And I look to get back into the game next season after going through this, you know, period that you have to take off in order to start taking the pension. So, yeah, it's been good. I see my kids right here in Tequesta, Florida. I see them all the time. They're older now, but it's awesome. So, but I tell you what, there's a lot of time on my hands. I tell you that much.
Hey, Robbie, your man Buster Posey hit a grand slam in Milwaukee. I still think the ball's traveling. But when you look at his home run total, he's at 5 in an era where we just talked about the balls flying out of the park, you know, left and right. Is that peculiar to you at all that Buster's only got 5 home runs?
Well, Buster's been, I mean, when you're behind a plate year after year, day after day, year after year, I mean, it starts to wear on you. So is Buster, I'm not saying he is, but does that, over time, does it wear on you? Is it slowing down his bat speed a little bit? Is it this? Is it that? When you're fatigued going out there each and every day, that may not be a factor, but it could be. He could come over, you know, the rest of this second half, he might hit 15 or 20. Who knows? And he's right back in it. So sometimes as hitters, too, it's all confidence. A lot of confidence. You could talk about your swing. You could talk about whatever. Seeing the ball and confidence when you're standing at the plate. And sometimes we all differ, you know, as days and weeks go by. And you get your confidence, you lose it. You get it, you lose it. So who knows? Like I said, it's hard to follow the Giants being here and, you know, and that three-hour difference and not being able to watch a lot of the games that I would like to. But I sure am looking forward to getting out there, and I think it's the 10th of August for the 30-year reunion. So I'm looking forward to catching up with a lot of people.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, Robbie, whenever I think about the wild card, I think about why it was implemented in 94 and not 93. I'm still scarred from that season where you guys won 103 games. I don't even want to put that in your mind, but I had to bring it up because although watching that team that won 103 games.
But Robbie, you know what, though? That's something to be proud of. They won 103 games.
Oh, I know.
You know, obviously, we did not get to the end of the playoffs, which I'll never, ever forget that day when we lost. We took 3 out of 4, as you remember, in L.A., which is damn near impossible to do, especially at the end of the year like that, when they know they got one thing in mind, all they want to do is knock the Giants out. So we take 3 out of 4, it goes down the last day, Colorado gets swept by the Braves.
Oh, I know.
You know, they got Crime Dog. That was a big pickup for them. But we still could play. I mean, come on, we played very well. We won 103 games. But we sat in that locker room in Dodger Stadium, dead silence, everyone staring at the walls, at each other, and shaking their heads like, really? We won 103 games and we're going home.
Damn.
And yeah, we were you know, a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah. Robbie Thompson here on 95.7 The Game. Great catching up with you, brother. Keep up the great work out there in Florida, man. Talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Thanks, guys.
No problem. Robbie Thompson here on 95.7 The Game. We'll continue to talk a little Giants and then talk about the Warriors. How ready are you to embrace this new-look Warriors team? But first, Elena with the latest on what's happening right here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Laney?
What up, Bonte? What's happening on the game brought to you by Cannon? 49ers open training camp in 10 days, and NFL Insiders Week continues here on 95.7 The Game. The greatest of all time, Jerry Rice, joined Joe Lowndes this morning and talked about the Niners' expectations heading into year three.
Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch going into the third year, you know, they really want to go out and turn this whole thing around. So, yeah, I feel like everything is in place, and the Niners, they're going to be exciting this year.
Going to be exciting this year. Listen to the full interview on demand at 957thegame.com or stream on the go using the handy-dandy radio.com app. More football talk coming up today when former 49ers coach Steve Mariucci joins Bonte, Steiny, and Guru at 1 o'clock. And make sure to join us at 5 o'clock. The Damon Bruce Show will introduce a surprise NFL insider for 957 The Game. Who could it be now? I'm Elena Matzorkis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 957 The Game.
Let's go.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Good afternoon to the 12 o'clock crowd. We're going from mornings to afternoon. We're done at 2, and I love the beat here. Bonte Hill, Matt Steinmetz, Derek Guru Johnson. Just had Robbie Thompson on. He sounded fun. It was great. 103 games. I'll never forget that day, Steiny. Solomon Torres.
I remember.
Piazza hit two homers,
two
I believe.
Jacks. Two
and
jacks.
I also want to say that the Rockies did not beat the Atlanta Braves the entire season.
The entire season.
I think.
Yep. No, that's accurate. Okay. That's accurate.
It's Steiny.
That's accurate. Steiny knows his baseball.
Steiny Kirchham.
He knows his baseball.
Or Matt Kirchham.
I just remember going to camp. I went to Camp Mendocino that summer, fellas. I was 10 years old. 10 years old. Going to Camp Mendocino. Giants are up 10.5. Go to Camp Mendocino. Obviously,
yeah,
no cell phones. No cell phones. I called my grandma on a payphone like twice in 10 days. Caught pink eye. I was having a blast. I come back. She picks me up from Go to Gay Park. How was the camping trip? I was all right. I need a paper because I told her when I get back, I need a sporting, you know, I need a sporting green. I need to know what's going on. I get in the backseat of the car and, you know, they're, hey, what's camp? What's going on? And all I see is the Braves pick up Fred McGriff from the San Diego
Prime
Padres,
dog,
who was a Giants killer. I still don't know how Fred McGriff is not in the Hall of Fame. Kidding me? Think he has like 493 jacks. And then the Braves were like down 3 games, Steiny. And I'm like, what the hell happened, Grandma? What's going on here? Giants are choking? And they win 103 games. Rockies don't beat the Braves all year. They sweep them in the last series. Giants win the first 3 at Dodger Stadium, then lose 12-1. I'm still scarred from that day. They were unbelievable down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some things I remember about that year. They had 2 20-game winners,
yep,
right? Billy Swift and
yep,
John Burkett.
Wow.
Burkett.
Yep.
I'm not looking at
no, that's
Burkett,
wow.
I think, won 22,
yep,
Swift 21, or vice versa.
I'm
trying to think what else happened that
day. Damn.
Obviously,
right,
that was the Solomon Torres.
Yep.
We
Barry Bonds' first year. Barry Bonds' first year with the Giants.
Oh, that one slipped me.
Will Clark was still there. Matt
the
Williams was on
the
fire.
Mascot.
Yep, the crab. Well, I don't know if the crab was a mascot.
I think he
93.
Was.
I don't remember the crab being a mascot, but Darren Lewis was really good. Royce Clayton.
Shout out to Union City.
Man, Kurt Manwaring at catcher.
Look at you.
Brian Hickerson was the third star. I mean, they were rolling. They were like 17-2 down the stretch. It was an epic, epic pennant race.
That'll never happen again to a team because of this wild card.
No, and the Giants were really good against the Phillies that year. I remember them. They used to beat up on the Phillies. I think they were like 8-4 against the Phillies in 93. Phillies went on to beat the Braves. They lose to the Blue Jays in the World Series. Damn, what a year. Then the next year was a strike year where Matt Williams was chasing Roger Maris's home run record. He had 43 going to August. Giants are in the wild card hunt. Daryl Strawberry is on that roster, Steiny.
That's right.
Strawberry was a Giant. He was rolling, man. He was getting hot.
Or doing some other things.
Oh, yeah. Well, you heard about Dwight Gooden a couple days ago. He had a relapse. He relapsed the other day. So hopefully Dwight Gooden is good here as we talk some baseball. Let's talk some Giants. Connor's been on hold for a long time here. Let's get Connor in here on 95.7 The Game for Redwood City. Connor, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. I appreciate it. I just wanted to talk about the Warriors. Like, I think a lot of people are riding them off this year, and it's a league of the duos now, and there's not a better duo in the NBA than Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. In my opinion, they're two of the three scariest players of all time, and the third is probably Kevin Durant. I really think this is going to be a great year for Steph Curry. Thanks for having me on hold, guys.
No problem. Thank you for patiently waiting on hold. And I think we all believe that Steph Curry is going to have a big year, but I just wonder, Steiny, how efficient is he going to be next season? How efficient will Steph Curry be, knowing that he has to take more shots and get more guys involved?
To me, I am really curious about the Warriors fans and how they're going to go into next season. Because I can just speak for myself and know that the last, probably not Durant's first year, but the last 2 years, I didn't have a lot of anticipation going into the year. The Warriors were the best team in the NBA. We all knew they were the best team in the NBA. We all knew they coast through the regular season. We all knew they were going to be in the playoffs as a one or two seed in the end. I do wonder if because this team's being doubted, because this team doesn't have Durant, because this team's not a lock anymore, will you be more interested in the Warriors as a fan? Will you watch more games? Will you pay more attention to the Golden State Warriors? Will there be more enthusiasm? Believe it or not, I think there may be, even though the team might not be as good. They probably won't be as good, but I think there's going to be a lot to look forward to next year. It's going to be a lot different, but it shouldn't be a drag. It really shouldn't.
And that's human nature, Steiny. When you don't have that team that the Warriors have had the last 3 years, and we're criticizing, not criticizing, or Oracle was quiet. Well, the fans know they got the best team, you know, in the league. So naturally, you weren't on edge. You weren't nervous. Now here we go. Already the E word is out and about. Excited. And for Steiny to almost be excited about, I wonder what it's going to look like. The fans in this new arena, to me, know, okay, we're not the favorites. Klay Thompson's not around, but damn it, we want to win. And I just think from that standpoint, fans are going to be up clapping as if they got a duty, if they have a part in making the Warriors successful. So we got to get loud. You may not even have to put that little thing on the scoreboard. What is it? Make noise. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That guy may or gal may not even be needed because the fans are coming into the arena, Steiny, already knowing we're underdogs.
Triple eight nine five seven nine five seven zero. How will Warrior fans embrace this new look Warriors team? I'm really curious to see how Warrior fans feel about this new look team because I know Kevin Durant is gone. He's gone to Brooklyn. Andre Iguodala's gone. But it does feel like Warrior fans, and I caught myself as a Warrior fan, I was a little more sad about Livingston and Iguodala leaving than I was Kevin Durant. Like Sean Livingston, what he did over the last 5 years, I felt some type of way about that, opposed to Kevin Durant when he moved to Brooklyn, because it was like, look, it's inevitable. You're not happy here. Why be somewhere where you're happy? It's like being at a job, right? You're at a job, you're working, you're like, man, it's not worth this paycheck. Screw this. I'm out. Like, and that's basically Kevin Durant. He was just like, I'm not happy there. So gone. So, but I didn't feel like, you know, I felt bad for him when he tore his Achilles in game 5 of the finals, but it was like, did you ever see Kevin Durant finishing his career as a Golden State Warrior? I never really did, Steiny.
No, I don't. I didn't either, and I think most Warrior fans didn't think he was going to be here for the rest of his career. You know, I think it's going to be fun. You know, it's not that I didn't like the Warriors. It's that the season felt like a foregone conclusion. There were no stakes to the regular season,
right?
And now there's going to be stakes to the regular season. We're going to be talking about playoff positioning. We're going to be talking about who will they match up with in the first round.
Right.
We're going to be talking about can they squeeze into the fourth spot. We're going to be talking about if Klay comes back, could they really make a run at it? All these questions over the course of the season are going to make it so much more intriguing than it has been in the past. Again, it's going to be different. But it is going to be, to me, more intriguing to watch. Maybe not as fun, but definitely more intriguing.
And remember the things we took for granted, road trips and who they got on the homestand. Now, I don't know if there's a team you can say, oh, we got them, because we don't know what it's going to look like. So it's going to start at the basics, who we got coming in. Oh, man, big homestand. But I got to tell you, I don't know Steph Curry, but I feel like I know him. And the fact that he's gotten so much, everything he's earned in his career, chips, MVPs, the only unanimous, we know there's jealousy out there. We know there's resentment among the players. Steiny, I got to tell you again, here I go with my two scoreboards. They're the scoreboard of watching Steph progress during this season without Klay Thompson, knowing there'll be articles if the Warriors start off 3-10. There'll be articles if the Warriors are 15-20 about, well, Steph, he's not doing it. How much does he deserve to blame? What's he going to do? Is it going to be 40 points? It's not my fault because the team's young. All that I'm in for, and I got my popcorn ready, fellas. That's all. I'm excited right now.
Nah, it's going to be fun to look at. You know, there'll be games. I'm not going to lie. There'll be games over the last 3 years of covering the Warriors. I've been covering them for about 5 years now. Lucky enough to go to Oracle Arena and watch them play ball. But there'll be games. There'll be nights where you're just like, oh, they're playing that team. game time decision, right? I think I'm going to do this one. I don't want to watch this on the couch.
You go to Memphis.
Memphis, Phoenix, you're like, Now all of a sudden those games are like, you know what? John Morant's coming to town. Devin Booker's coming to town. The Suns got a shot. I'm going to chase tonight. You're not going to miss anything because you just don't know with this new look Warriors team. Steiny, let's get to some phone calls here. 888-957-9570. Let's start off with Priest in Palo Alto.
Uh-oh,
he wants to talk about
guy.
The Warriors Center. I never talked to Priest before. Have I talked to you, Priest?
Right. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Priest.
Don't get me wrong. If I could rewind this thing and keep Kevin Durant, I'd do it in a heartbeat. Mm. I love watching that. I go way back. I just have.
Let's put Priest on hold. I could barely hear him. He's got some bad reception right now. Get Priest on hold. See if we can clear up that phone line. Let's go to Rodney in Vallejo. He wants to talk about the Warriors and the Warrior fans. What's up, Rodney? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm actually with Guru on this one. You know, like, as a Warrior fan, we're excited to prove ourselves. Like, we go into each game with a lot more at stake. And, you know, I really think they're going to prove themselves. Like, they wrote off Steph Curry and Draymond Green so early. Like, the season hasn't started yet.
I mean, I think the best thing that could happen to the Warriors is the season starts and we start seeing the landscape of the NBA and we start thinking – maybe they could win it, actually. Because right now, I don't think I don't see them as a championship contender.
I'm with you there.
But things can change over the course of the season. And Klay Thompson's going to be ideally coming back. So I agree. I mean, I'm with Guru here, too. I'm excited about this season. I'm excited to see what D'Angelo Russell can do on this team.
Him.
Is Willie right. Cauley-Stein who we thought he is? We'll see about that. The rookies, can they really contribute, or is it summer league fool's gold? We haven't had these questions in a while.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it coming into the season. There's going to be an evolving door here. One day we're going to be like, oh, the Warriors don't have it. One day we're going to be like, you know what? It could sneak up on people in the Western Conference playoffs. We'll see about that. Let's go to James in San Ramon. He wants to talk about the new look Warriors. What's up, James? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, so I agree with you guys. I'm super excited about the season. The last five seasons, you know, when they lose, you get really, really upset. And I think now when they lose, you know, you're not going to be that upset. And it's actually going to be that much more sweeter whenever they win, because 9 times out of 10, we're probably not supposed to win this year and no championship expectations. But, you know, like whenever Klay comes back, who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
We'll see. Thanks for the phone call, James. We will see. We will see. This quick text from the Chilton Auto Body text line. I want to kick this to you, Steiny, from the 901. He says the Warriors should tank next year. Try to get a lottery pick. Do not play Klay all year. Curry has managed load management there. Let DR and Willie Cauley-Stein run the show and up their trade value. Then build a real contender again in 2020. Think long term. Do you agree with the 901 there, Steiny?
Not to start the season. Absolutely not. You can't tell Steph Curry to tank or Draymond Green to tank.
Yep.
You got to play hard in the beginning of the year. See where you are in December. See where you are in mid-January. See where you are in late January. If you see that, you know what? we might not be a playoff team. Well, then you start making decisions on Klay Thompson and what you want to achieve. But you cannot go into the season thinking that way. Not only is it a disservice to the champions on the roster, but there is the tangible factor of playing in a new arena next year. And that is something that has meaning in terms of what the Warriors do.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Western Conference, and that Westbrook to Houston has me thinking Houston's coming out the West. But neither here nor there.
Oh, boy.
That's just me. But
I'll take you on that bet. Steak dinner?
I'm trying to be proactive, fellas, and be happy.
Steak dinner on that bet?
Steak Houston? Dinner. Yeah.
You think Houston's going to the NBA Finals?
Right now, I do.
Steak dinner right now.
And they added Russell Westbrook. To me, I think, book that or mark it.
Yeah, mark that tape. Thank you, James.
But where I'm going, Stein, is you got me thinking about D'Lo. Okay, I'm rooting all for him, and I want it to manifest and him be a Warrior for years to come. But if it doesn't look like it's working, man, that's an all-star now. You can dangle in December, Christmas time. What would the Warriors get for him? And then what would that look like incorporating those, I would hope, into the Warrior system? So I guess I'm saying there's Geico in regard to if D'Lo doesn't work out and they look to move him, that's an all-star you're dangling. Somebody could look at him, some team, and be like, okay, he could take us, another level higher. But I guess what I'm saying is the Warriors then would get something new or some things new, and what do they look like then? So I don't know. I guess that's got me more excited.
I'm just thinking about the House of Prime Rib that you're going to take me to next June. That's all I'm looking forward to right now.
This guy.
Medium well.
I won't derail the show. Stine, he ain't laughing at me like that was. I was expecting him to go throw something at me.
Houston?
That's not the craziest thing I've heard Guru say.
You're so down on Russell, man.
That's the craziest thing you've ever said. But
he must have stepped to your girl or something. Nah. You got history with Russell off the court.
I do have some history with Westbrook. Not the right history.
There we go.
I've never seen a guy roll his eyes. I don't think a girl has ever rolled her eyes at me the way Russell Westbrook did that night in the locker room a couple years ago.
It's not that.
It's just, no, Houston, come on, man. Let's go to Robert in Oakland here. He wants to talk about the new look Warriors. What's up, Robert? You're on 95.7 again. Oh, get Robert on hold. He's not ready to go. Let's try Priest again. Priest, what's up, man? You're back on 95.7 again.
Can you hear me now?
We got you, Priest.
Is it working?
There you
we got you.
Thanks for taking my call, man. If I could go back to and get Durant back on this team, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But things are what they are. I think this kid, D'Angelo Russell, was a great get. Not a good get. A great get. I also love the young talent. The only thing that I wanted to happen, besides Durant staying, was for us to go young. We could not continue with, and I know fans are not going to agree with this, with Iguodala, Sean Livingston. That could not continue. We needed guys that could put the ball in the hole. This is a make-or-miss league. It just is. Things have changed in the NBA because of the Splash Brothers. So, with these young kids that can score, this Alec Burke, this is the kid that nobody's talking about. Along with D'Angelo Russell, Alec Burke, and a couple of other these veteran players, man, I remember when Sean Livingston and these other guys that would come to the Warriors hungry to win. When you know that you got a chance to win, it changes you. It just does. But you guys were talking about culture the other day. That's culture. When you know you have a chance to win. Steph Curry is one of the baddest cats on the planet. I don't care what nobody said. Everybody can talk about the LeBrons and the Kawhi Leonards and so forth. This dude is no joke. Steph, and another thing, Klay Thompson in game 6, I thought was the best player on the court. I think Klay's best days are ahead of him. Mm. Now, the injury is a problem, no doubt. But I think you guys are missing, man. Looney can play.
We know. We know, Priest. We know, Priest.
Talking about this stuff.
We know, Priest.
So don't knock my boys now.
All right.
this is going to jump off correct. By
already. Yeah, it's going to be a slow start, but it's going to jump off correct about mid-season, and you're going to see a Warrior team nobody really wants to play. Trust me on this one.
Priest in Palo Alto, Stidey. You feel a Priest there?
Well, I don't know about Alec Burks.
I would go ahead.
I mean, he's 27 years old. He had some fair years early with the Jazz. He hasn't done much.
Been
lately.
Hurt.
I don't know about Alec Burks.
Big dog?
I do think that they can maybe make some noise in the playoffs if and when Klay comes back. But we'll see how they play up until that point.
Real quick, what about Glenn Robinson the third? Or little big dog, Big Dog Jr.? What about him? Nobody's really talking about him. What does he have in the tank?
I mean, I would imagine he's gonna be in the mix for starting at the three. Maybe with Alec Burks and maybe with Alphonso McKinney, because right now I don't really see a legit starting three for the Warriors, but who knows? Maybe it can be one of those three guys.
And maybe it'll be the what we talked about, like Priest mentioned, the culture that'll bring the best out in Alec Burks, who, you know, the best ability is availability. Right. Dude, I thought Utah had a diamond in the rough with him. And then it just shows you how fickle sports can be, and he's been hurt. So, you know, I'm not going to rob him of the opportunity to shock us. But, you know, right now I'm just like, he ain't moving the needle, him or Big Dog Son.
Who's the other guy?
Glenn Robinson.
Oh, I got you. I thought you were talking about Burks.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll see about all of that. We'll continue this conversation, fellas. Full phone lines right now, 888-957-9570. Be patient here. Tamir, Robin, Jay, Neil, Robert, we'll all get to you next segment here. Steve Mariucci at 1 o'clock. We'll talk to him about Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, but we'll continue this conversation. How excited are you for this new look Warriors team? We'll continue that right here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's that, Pappas? You even got Steiny knocking his head. Dreamville, the new Dreamville album. J. Cole, right? It's a good album. The first song on this track, I think it's Kendrick, what he says. I woke up for some Monday.
Yeah.
Great line.
Yeah.
Great line.
Hey, some people said, what the hell happened, Grandma? Should be a... They should.
Who said? Well, the hell.
It should be a bit. What do we do when we?
Oh yeah, mark
what's it called?
Mark the tape.
No,
I don't know. A drop.
A drop. There you go. Steiny's got his. Yeah.
What you got? That's the accented mimosa.
Yeah, I need.
You really
mimosa.
Drink mimosas?
Dude, love them.
How can I take this guy serious, Steiny? If he drinks mimosas,
what does that mean?
Guy goes to the bar. 6'4", what are you, about 225, 230?
Yeah, 230.
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
About 245. If you go in there and order a mimosa, if I was a bartender, I wouldn't take you seriously. I'd tell you to get out the bar.
Wow. So you would drink shame me?
Yes.
It's about me being happy.
Mimosas, man. What are you a big mimosa
Steiny,
guy?
Help
Steiny?
Me out. What am
yeah,
I coming
I
with?
Like mimosas.
You like mimosas?
I love
oh,
it.
Like, who am I working with?
One.
Who am I working with,
I
man?
Like mimosas more than Bloody Marys.
Bloody Marys are...
I slept on those. Whoa.
No. Bloody Marys are terrible. Most overrated drink
you, know
you can
what
ever
they
get
represent.
At brunch.
That you got busy the night before and you need a...
I get
you
know, busy, like, just give me
keep
a beer.
It steady. Just give me, tell them.
Give me a Jack and Coke.
I'm
give
with
me,
you, Goop. I'm
I
with
mean,
you.
Come on. A Bloody Mary? They're overrated. It's terrible.
You're young.
I think people just do that because they think it's cool. Like
no.
People go into bars or brunch and they... Let me get a mimosa or a Bloody Mary. Hey, like, they think it's cool. There's nothing cool about tomato juice and a piece of bacon in your drink. Like,
don't forget the olive.
Stop. We're talking to Warriors here. How excited are you for this new look Warriors team? And Guru, you brought this up during the break. Steph Curry over the weekend talked to the Athletic up there in Lake Tahoe.
Man.
Talked about Draymond's potential contract extension. And Steph Curry said, I feel like he's proven now how valuable he is to a championship team and can find ways to get even better. They know what's up.
They mean it, Steiny. Management.
Yep.
And in 2015, real quick, Curry also said Dre's contract was up, and Dre would make a play during the game. Steph would look at Lake up and say, pay that man. That's what I would do for either one of you.
That's one of my biggest questions, fellas, going into the season.
What?
What do you do with Draymond Green? Do you give him a contract
you gotta
extension?
You got to pay him.
Or do you wait and give him, what if he makes an All-NBA team?
Supermax.
Yeah, give him Supermax. Sure, I don't know.
90.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why Draymond would want to sign a contract extension this year. He's been somebody who's bet on himself all the time in the past. He thinks he's going to get better. Who's to say he's not? I just don't think he's going to give up that money to sign a year early. And again, Clay was in that position last year. He didn't do it.
Wow.
So we'll see what ends up happening. But yeah, there's going to be it's not going to to me, it's not a no-brainer what to do with Draymond Green. If you re-sign him next year, I kind of get it. If you don't re-sign him next year, I kind of get that. So we got to see how he plays, I think, this upcoming year with this new
so he's got to prove himself again then, it sounds like.
Why does he have to, but Curry doesn't?
Well, Curry's already wrapped up, and he getting this to, what is it, 240? I don't know what his contract is worth. I guess what I'm saying, Steiny, is Durant had signed. You could have said, hey, Draymond, you know, it's been a good run. But now that KD left, I think you need every ounce of what Draymond gives you. And you got to bet that we saw him lose to 23 pounds. That he knows this, and he's going to come in great shape. And that's your core, and you ride off and see if this core with him, Steph, and Clay can affect the youngsters and give you another title shot.
Played a career low 66 games last year, Draymond Green. I think he's the guy you really have to look into the future and try to figure out what you're going to have if you sign into a long-term contract. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I'm with you.
The other question you have to ask, is he on the downside of his career?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, he averaged 11-7, 14, 10-2, 11. He averaged 7.4 points per game. Last year. His three-point shooting has gone down every single year in the last 4 years to 28.5 this past year.
Yep.
So, you know, you gotta answer some tough questions about Draymond Green, I think.
I know he's the heart and soul of the team, but what Steiny just said is very valid. You look at the numbers, and I know he averaged about, what, with KD out in the playoffs, he went on a great run in the postseason. When you look at the numbers, the points, the rebounds, the assists, he damn near averaged a triple-double, but you also look at the turnovers and the shots he passed up because of his low shooting percentage from the three-point line. Very valid questions there. Let's get back out to the phones before we bring in Steve Mariucci at 1 o'clock to talk some football. Start off with a lady I love. She always calls the show. Robin in San Francisco. What's up, Robin? How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? I don't know what's going to happen next year. I'm going to shoot this out to you guys, and maybe
you sound down, Robin. You're usually fired up. You sound down.
No, I'm sitting in the DMV.
Okay.
I'm already down.
So you got time. You waiting.
Nobody's happy when you walk into the DMV, okay? But here's the deal. This is the opportunity where, I guess, I just hope that the Warriors, in terms of the we culture, because we have a lot of young players that want to probably prove themselves. And so I hope that my hope is that we continue to have that let's work as a unit type of culture. I hate to see that go away because I see a lot of ISO players. Also, our defense is not that great. I don't see it on the floor compared to if you look at other teams out there, especially in the wing position. Alfonso McKinney really frightens me to death because he can't shoot threes, and he's not a great defender either, but he's got hops. And then the last thing I want to say, if you look at I like to see Curry be more of a playmaker. I know he has to do shooting, but be a playmaker, and it would be nice if at least Draymond Green could develop at least a mid-range jump shot. He can't even finish around the rim. So all the comments that Steinmetz made about Draymond, I definitely agree with you about Draymond going forward. And the last thing I want to say is if you look at the other teams compared to the Warriors, you see a lot of those duos. They play a lot of I see a lot of isolation ball that's going to be going down with AD and Paul George and all those other teams. And one of the things that when you get those teams compared to the Warriors, Warriors don't play very good isolation ball. And all they're going to do is isolate the Warriors, and they're going to kill them. And so I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but I really think those are the that's what I see as being problems. But I'm still looking forward to it. And one of the things is that at least we got Bob Myers rebuilding and not Chris Cohan rebuilding, who would probably trade Curry, Dre, and Clay to the G League for a bunch of senior citizens.
Robin, have fun at the DMV. Good luck to you there. I got a secret about the DMV where I could get in and out, but we'll do that later.
Oh, wow. That's worth something.
You make an appointment?
No,
you got to wait now when you make an appointment.
No, I don't.
Not
I,
you
don't. Do. Yeah. I don't. I well, if you go to the main DMV, walk in at about 4:15, 4:20.
Now, what does that mean, main?
Well, if you go to the one in San Francisco or whatever DMV, walk in at about 4:20, 4:30. You're in there for about 30 minutes.
I like
but if
that.
You're a AAA member, I got a secret location to where you walk in and out. You don't even have to go to the DMV.
AAA? You can do a lot of stuff at AAA. Yeah. Can.
Just real quick about Draymond. Do you learn how to dance. You learn how to save money. But do you learn how to get a jumper? He's been in the league. And I guess what I'm saying is when we look at the shooting percentage from Draymond Green, are we doing him an injustice? We should look at the intangible column. And that's what and who he is. But do you really – can he develop a three-pointer, Steiny? I guess at this juncture in his career, man.
I mean, he shot 38% 3 years ago. Now he shot 28% last year. I don't understand why. Maybe
– the wear and tear of him banging?
Maybe. I think that's fair. You know, Robin brought up an interesting point, and let's say the Warriors' starting unit is Curry, D'Angelo Russell, McKinney, Draymond Green, and Willie Cauley-Stein. I see one good defender in that group.
Oof.
Just Oof. One.
Wow.
That's going to be so different from having Clay out there, having a Durant's length out
wow,
there.
Wow, man.
That's going to be the part that
look at us.
That's going to be the part that may be a little frustrating for Warrior fans is the defense will likely not be as good.
And if you get killed in the NBA off dribble penetration, you're done. You know what I mean? It's
yep.
It's man. We'll see.
We'll see, man. That's tiny. It's scary, man.
Yeah,
I don't need a mimosa. I need a shot. Something strong, not a soft mimosa, man.
I told you to make the playoffs mimosa. Though.
Yeah, I did too.
He did. Now, Steiny's on the playoff team. We're all playoff teams. I wonder about the over-under, 47.5. Can they win 48 to 50 games with this roster? You know, with D'Angelo Russell there, playing co-pilot with Steph Curry and Draymond Green, can he improve on that three-point shot? We got time for one more call before Moochie. Let's squeeze in Trey. Trey in Oakland. Squeeze in Trey right here on 95.7 The Game before we get to Steve Mariucci. What's up, Trey?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
We're good, man.
Good. I want to talk about, I agree with everything Steiny say. I like the direction that the Warriors are going in. How about this? You know, I think Draymond, like I said, I wouldn't sign him to a max contract. If he don't sign this year, what I would do, how about proposing a trade with Draymond for someone like Aaron Gordon, from Orlando. He's bigger. He's a better shooter. He's not the playmaker of Draymond, but he can do all the tangibles that Draymond right. does. You know, what you guys think about that?
We'll take you real quick, Steiny. Aaron Gordon's a nice, fine young player. We got to get to Mooch here, but real quick, I don't know about that.
I don't know if Orlando's that far along in the process to take on a Draymond Green.
He would be perfect in this game, though.
I agree. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco A Radio. .com sports station, Matt Steinmetz, Daryl Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill, taking you up until 2 p.m. Hour number 3 coming up, and we start this hour with Steve Mariucci. It's going to be a 95.7 game insider for us all season long for the third season in a row. I should say, Mucci, it's good to hear from you, man. Training camp is around the corner.
Bonte, how you doing? How you doing, guys, Matt?
All right.
Daryl.
How are you?
I call you Daryl or the Guru? What is it?
What,
call him Guru,
Mooch. Call me Guru, Mooch. I feel like I know you. Call me Guru.
Okay. Well, I thought, well, I call Abonte Guru, too. You know, he's got all the answers. But anyway, good to be on with you guys.
Do not lie to the masses, Mucci. I have no answers like you. We're talking Niners here. Obviously, 10 days away from players reporting to training camp and 9 days away from them hitting the practice field. And, look, it's a big year. You know how it is in what the San Francisco 49ers organization. Expectations are high. Now, I know they've been down in recent years, especially since they moved to Levi Stadium, but man, it seems like it's not only a big year for John Lynch, for Kyle Shanahan, but the quarterback as well, Jimmy Garoppolo. We've only seen him for 10 games. Mucci, we got to see him on the field and play some football.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see him. You're not putting all these guys on the hot seat, are you?
Not yet. The seat's warm.
Tell the truth, Bonte.
Seat's warm, Mucci. The seat's heating up.
They're doing a good job, and they've got to. It's got to all come together, you know. They got to be a little lucky too, because of the injuries that they've had over the last year or two. And so, you know, I think they're all on track. I really do. You mentioned lately they haven't been what they want to be in 49er land. You know, they've got four seasons in a row of 10 losses or more, and that just doesn't cut it there. But I think they're going to come out of that. They've got a pretty darn good roster right now. And like I said, you know, they're trying to keep everybody healthy. You know what the Rams did last year? What was really interesting, because you always wonder how much you play your guys in the preseason games, right? How much is enough? How much is too much? You know, risk injury. Well, the Rams didn't even play their guys in preseason games last year. They ended up going to the Super Bowl. And they did that because they wanted to keep everybody fresh and healthy and not take too many chances and open the season with a pretty complete team. And so I think the Niners have got to have Jimmy Garoppolo and you know, all kinds of guys they've added to a supporting cast in a real good way. But we'll see how fast they come. They're still a very young team.
Steve, you brought this up about are these guys on the hot seat? Is a coach on a hot seat? Is he feeling pressure? What does that feel like? I mean, how does it manifest itself in your day-to-day if you're either feeling pressure or you feel like you're on the hot seat? Is it something you even pay attention to?
You act like I've been on the hot seat before.
Well, just once, probably. Every coach is on it once, right?
I was born on the hot seat, okay? And so, you know what? Nobody puts more pressure on a coach or a GM or a player, for that matter, than themselves, okay? Yeah, the media, they can just say, hey, the hot seat guy, winner, whatever, you know, whatever. But believe me, these people that are in the arena with Kyle and John and Robert Saleh, who happens to be from the Northern Michigan University, where I'm from, you know, they ignore the noise, right? But they put their own pressure on. They work hard as they possibly can every single day, and they let the chips fall where they may. So you don't have time to dwell on it or think about it. You just do your job the best way you can. And if your roster is good enough, and if your guys stay healthy enough and catch the ball and tackle the guy they should, then you got a chance to get back to the playoffs, and I think the Niners do.
Mooch, that's good news. I like to pick your brain. You've been a leader of men, and I want to talk to you about Nick Bosa. And we know there was a little noise with his political beliefs, but he's a part of the Niners. They drafted him. He came in, had the hamstring strain. He's unsigned. And I'm rooting for him because I'm rooting for the Niners. I want to ask you, is there the fact that he's unsigned, would you say, you know what, son, you haven't got off to a good start, or is the slate still clean, nothing to see here?
Well, first of all, political issues, you know, when you have a locker room that has 60 guys in it or 80 guys in it right now early with camp, and you're going to have different political views, you're going to have different religions, different race, colors, and creeds, and everything else. It's the most diverse group in team sports, okay? And that's just how it is. So those things are superficial. Those things don't go onto the field. Those things are such that, you know, you become a teammate. You put the same helmet on as everybody else, and you have one common cause, and you have one, you know, narrow focus is that to win games together. So that's where they are right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.